Welcome back to Oceans Apart. So far, we've heard from people who are sailing on the ocean, migrating, moving, traveling long distances. And for the rest of the night, we're going to try and figure out what happens to the people who stay at home.
You're listening to All The Best. I'm Michael Bryden, and last week we heard stories from Oceans Apart. It was a listening party held by All The Best's Melbourne Collective. There were stories from across the seas and about people traversing long distances. Today we've got more stories from Oceans Apart, but we're going to be hearing from the people who stay home. When you're the one driving your lover to the airport or waving goodbye from the dock, how do you bridge that gap? First up, we hear from Nate.
This next story is going to be really weird for me to listen to, but I'm not alone because my partner Mandalay is downstairs, and it's a conversation between the two of us in bed.
What's it like when I go away?
I can't sleep when you're not here. I don't know whether, well, I guess we've been sleeping next to one another constantly for the last 4 or 5 years, and then before that at least like part of the time sleeping with one another or sleeping next to one another. And when you're not here, I can't sleep. It's awful. I'm really restless, and it's just like there's something wrong, or there's something missing, or I haven't done something. I think having someone sleeping next to you induces sleep as well, makes you feel sleepy. And when someone yawns, you yawn. But the reverse of that is that when I can't get to sleep and you're asleep, that makes it worse sometimes. That makes me feel like, oh my God, he's asleep. Why can't I sleep? What's wrong with me? Why aren't I sleeping? Am I going to get insomnia again? You know, and then I get really nervous because I don't want to move very much because I might wake you up. So then I start thinking about not moving my body and like trying to keep as still as I possibly can so as not to wake you up. Because, you know, some nights I'm up with endometriosis pain and I don't want to wake you and disturb you. But at the same time, I have to get medication and get a heat blanket and I can't sleep and it's lonely. Those hours are really lonely, laying next to you and you're asleep and I'm awake, and it's almost more lonely than just being on my own.
Oh yeah, so what do you do when I'm away to go to sleep?
I often leave a light on. I will let the cats up here. But it's usually really restless and I sleep. And the worst I find, worse than that, is when I know you're coming home really late. So if you've been out till, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or something, and I know you're coming home, I can't sleep till then.
So you never make a substitute for me?
Make a substitute, like a pillow?
Yeah.
Not really. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
I don't think so. That's what I do when you go away. I'll get like, there's 4 pillows in the bed and I only need one pillow. And so I'll just like put a pillow where you sleep and then it's there.
I do remember when we were younger and more romantic that we would, when I used to go back to my parents' place for visiting for holidays, that we would call each other and talk before we went to bed, or in bed we would talk, and I would tell you which way I was facing and then you would face that way so that we could be spooning, imaginary spooning.
Wasn't I romantic?
You were very romantic.
What happened? What changed?
8 years of sleeping next to one another.
That was me. in bed talking to Mandalay, who's downstairs.
Next up, we're moving from a couple just centimetres apart to a couple forced apart by distance. I'm going to struggle making eye contact with you guys because I was one half of this couple that we're about to hear from. We'd only been dating for a little while when he moved interstate to live and he was about to go overseas indefinitely. We both knew this going in, but I think there was a bit of selective ignorance from both of us. This conversation was recorded on a mobile phone, so we're kind of wading through static. I wasn't sure whether I should play it tonight because it's noisy and there's a lot of static, but then I realized that the sound of static is kind of the sound of distance. It's as if this technology brings us closer together, but then when it fails us, it just forces us further apart. So to me, this static is a reminder of that distance.
It's really hard to talk about
moments of like desire. Endorphins, that, yeah, and desire and endorphins that get released. And
really want to talk about.
I want the potential of that with you. It does, you know, increase that desire as well. Probably.
I can't consider it a possibility.
Be pulling you close to me.
Until it is a possibility, but I don't.
I'm holding you by the hips.
I don't want to like alter the course of either of our futures in order to make it a possibility.
Okay, yeah, I feel like I get to know you a little bit every morning, so as well.
Yeah.
And it does increase that desire as well. But
it's like every time I talk to you on the phone, I feel closer to you because I get to know you more, but I also kind of feel further away from you because...
Yeah, I want to travel. I want to go and see things and do things. And then I'll probably come back to Melbourne, I think. But I might not. I'm not sure. I just don't know. I'm going to see you soon. Definitely. And then, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a plan. Really. Except... I know I need to spend some time away from Melbourne. So I'm not available at the moment. If you want to give me a ring back in a bit, that's fine. Otherwise, if you leave a name and number, I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
My present desire for you to be here, like, overrides my more conscious long-term desire for you to leave.
I miss you. I kiss your neck. And I
think if I went back...
It's good to talk to her. I do wish I was with you, though. It's really nice knowing that you're there for me, even if you're physically not, you know?
I shouldn't even be considered. I'm not there. You need to live your life.
I want you here. The distance is frustrating.
If you or I met someone else that you thought was putting... or I thought was worth putting time or effort into, that's fucking fine. Like, I've got no problem.
Probably start kissing your neck. Okay, yeah.
I feel like maybe if you had stayed in Melbourne, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I don't expect to be coming home anytime soon for good, and I don't expect you to wait, and I wouldn't want you to.
So, like, I don't know whether that...
Probably...
something?
Be pulling you close to me and holding you by the hips.
I mean, hypothetically, if I went overseas and in the meantime you met someone, and in the meantime I met someone and we still maintained a friendship, and then, you know, I don't know. anything can happen, you know what I'm saying?
I do wish I was with you, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I miss you.
I miss you, too.
That beautiful story was produced by Beck Fire. If you do want to hear more of her work, she does make a Sleep Talker podcast. You can check it out at sleeptalkerpodcast.com. Next up, we're going to hear from Josie Smart.
This piece was produced earlier this year in a series called Dear Hello, which was created by myself and Izzy Roberts-Orr, who's just standing at the back of the room. And each episode featured a letter which was written and read by somebody who wanted to speak to a particular experience or issue that they felt close to. Each letter, as is the nature of letter writing, deals with sort of a combination of both distance and proximity. So writing, whether it's to a distant memory or a distant other, but then also the proximity of having something that you feel really close to. This letter in particular deals with distance in a way probably that is something that not a lot of us but in this room might necessarily understand, but a lot of people in the world definitely can relate to. Taki Khan Azra is a Hazaragi man who is living in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. He is a musician and he's highly regarded among the Hazaragi community living here. He's gentle and he's kind, but he, like many others, was forced to flee persecution in his homeland, which for Taki was Afghanistan. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it tonight to introduce the piece himself, but he did ask me to say this. I miss my mum every day. She misses me too. I can feel the pain of thousands of refugees. None of them can see their mums either. They need everybody's help. This is a letter that Taki wrote to his mum. It's called Mother Abai.
Surma khagi pai to mother. Mom, I miss you a lot. I miss you every moment. Australia is a beautiful, peaceful country. There is democracy here, which I am enjoying for the first time in my life. There are opportunities for education, for freedom, but all of this would be impossible if it was not for you. Mom, thank you for sending me here. Thank you, you saved my life. I miss you. And I know you miss me too, because you are my mom. You sacrifice your life for me. You send me to Australia, and now I'm safe here. I wish that everyone from my generation, from my community, could be safe too. I wish for their life to be safe, but for many people it is not possible. They are still living in the country where there is war, there is fighting, there is violence. Mom, I hope one day all my people from my country will have democracy. You taught me so much. You had a wish which you shared with me, to see peaceful Afghanistan, to see peaceful people in Afghanistan. I wish to see this too. Again, Mom, thank you. Thank you for saving my life.
Thanks to Taki Khan and Josie Smart. Dear Hello was produced as part of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's segment series and was produced for the Community Radio Network. And that segment series was produced by Josie Smart and Izzy Roberts-Orr, who we're going to hear from next.
You're listening to All the Best, and today we're hearing stories from Oceans Apart, the very first listening party from All the Best's Melbourne Collective.
I'd like to start as well before we play these pieces, just by acknowledging that the land we're on always was, always would, will be Wurundjeri land. And also acknowledge that there's so many people in this room that constantly inspire me, so thank you. Play this and then I'll explain.
We just wanted someone to speak to. So we chose each other.
So we chose each other.
So we chose each other.
So we chose each other. So we chose each other. So we chose each other. So we chose each other.
So that was the latest letter that I received from my pen pal, Honey Jumble. Yes, that is my pen pal's code name. So the story is that I went to see a gig of one of my favorite bands, and in classic Izzy style, when afterwards at the end of this gig, I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. And they're like, yeah, you know, come and speak to us afterwards. And I was like, okay, cool, I will. So, you know, I went up to the lead singer. I was like, that was amazing. And he was like, yeah, all right, thanks. And then I was like, oh, well, my plan where I'd like just told all my mates that I was like totally going to get the band to come to the house party afterwards kind of epically failed. I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll just go to the bar and get another drink anyway. And I got to the bar and there's this man standing there and we lock eyes and there's electricity instantly and we start making jokes about, like, he's like, which drink should I get? And I was like, obviously cider. Later it turns out that the water that I thought he had in his glass was vodka. Vodka and cider, in case you were wondering, is a terrible mix. But we started talking and this guy was, you know, the one that stands in the background. John stands right up the back and makes all of these beautiful sound production things happen. But he lives in Cambridge. So we, you know, electricity, brains, when you're just like, we have been friends for a lifetime before this, probably. You should come to a house party. So we're at this house party in Carlton North at like 4 o'clock in the morning, dancing on this dance floor. And I'm like, I'm going to read you some poetry. And he's like, okay. And then I'm reading him love poems. And he's like, yeah, this is great. And I was like, oh, it sucks that you live in another country. And he's like, yeah, I know, right? We should be pen pals. Okay, pinky promise. And it actually happened. So, and then this latest thing was me Facebooking John when I was drunk, being like, I'm doing a thing for this amazing project. We should write each other sound letters instead of written letters because we're both sound producers. And he gave me that and I was like, fuck. How am I going to make something that responds to that beauty? But before I came here, I sent Honey Jumble, just in case you're wondering, my code name is Almond. I'm a dry roast almond. That sounds really tasteless, but they're goddamn good. And I sent him this and he listened to it and it was really lovely to have some kind of response. I feel like it's very rough and I apologize for that. But yeah, it's kind of fun having a pen pal overseas that you can make a sound file for. We're complete strangers still. Like I don't know this man at all. And here we go.
All right.
Hi. I I
it's hard to put on tape, but I wanted to so that I could remember it.
I have been trying to mine you. But you are not a quarry. You tell me there is nothing in you but coal. Seams beneath the surface that might burn for millions of years if lit. Throw away the halogens and the rat-a-tat-tack of mechanized drills. Use your hands. Dig for the fucked up gem inside you. Carry out the rocks and debris, falling in and blocking all the tunnels. Rip your nails and cut your teeth. Callus your fingers and push upwards. Let the light in. Or don't. Our caves are what we make of them. Our rib cages can't be homes for other people, but I know that where there is pressure, there are diamonds.
Listening to the millions of billions of years old sound of the ocean. It's hard to put on tape, but I wanted to so that I could remember it.
I move to a cave. I have become very small. I scrub the walls of my cave and fill it with echoes of Burt Bacharach and Beyoncé. Like a rainbow, like a mirage, still, I prefer to belong to myself. Don't touch me unless I say yes. Yes, I say to the mountain some days, my God, you are beautiful. If the world was ever a whole and untouched place, it hid itself somewhere in the lines on your face. I keep the bones from what I eat to carve into delicate weapons. Toffee sun cracks wide the mouth of my cave, catching motes of dust, hurling them back at the sun like, I don't want this. If I drew you, I would draw the mountaintop. Breathtaking, treacherous, and almost impossible to reach.
It's hard to put on tape, but I wanted to so that I could remember it.
I can hear my housemates fucking in the next room, and I can hear me talking to myself.
I'll be right here when someone crush my bones and consume me.
Huge thank you to Izzy Robitaille for tearing up my heart. She's a beautiful playwright, poet, and radio maker. And you can check out more of her work at izzyrobitaille.com.
And that's it. We're pretty much done.
Check out alderbestradio.com/blog for more stories from Oceans Apart and for photos from the night. Alderbestradio.com is also where you'll find past stories and find out how to subscribe or search Alderbest Radio on iTunes. Oceans Apart was produced by the Alderbest Melbourne Collective, Bethany Atkinson Quinton, Beck Fari, and me, Michael Bryden. Thanks to Beck Fari, Josie Smart, and Izzy Roberts-Orr for contributing stories to the event and for this episode. Alderbest is produced at FBI Radio in Sydney, with Triple R and Sin in Melbourne and 4ZZZ in Brisbane. Our features executive producer is Heidi Pett, our community coordinator is Aidan Mullins, and my co-host is Pip Rasmussen. Alderbest is played across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
I should hear you sing, those words would just make me sting. I can't take you with me. That's for certain. I can't take you with me, now I know it. Though the love was in me, I did not show it. I found in Berlin, who I swore might be my twin, taken from me without me ever knowing.
Dreamt we had a boy named him.